and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith, it gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. From Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the places of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you that we can publicly hear your word and carry your name. Lord, on this day of International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we remember our brothers and sisters who don't have the same freedom that we have, those who face just great risk for carrying the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them in their faith, that you would assure them of your love, of your presence, that you would create opportunities for them to share their faith in ways that plant seeds in hearts. Lord, would you just help our persecuted brothers and sisters know that there are people around the world who care and who long wait for the day when we will be all together in heaven rejoicing in all that you've done. But today now, Lord, we pray that your word and your spirit would do a mighty work in us. Form us, Lord, until all that you created and redeemed us to be comes forth in our lives. By your word and Lord, by your spirit, change us from the inside out until everything about us points to you and to your goodness, the power of your love. So we wait expectantly, Lord, for your work in us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So once again, in studying the scripture, I had this moment of just being stopped in my tracks. In Bible study, I asked several people to read what their translation said, because I was just, it gave me a whole new insight. Let me go to this. May God himself, our Father, and our Lord Jesus make it possible for us to come to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as our love overflows toward you. Okay, that's pretty standard thought to me. As a result, or so that, or in order to, or how various translations read, Christ will make your heart strong and blameless and holy. When you stand before God our Father on that day when our Lord Jesus comes with all those who belong to him. Now, do you get this? Having in Christian community such love overflowing to one another isn't just a good witness to the world, but it is a good witness. The early church was known to outsiders, that the outsiders would say, see how they love one another. They were stunned by the level of love and deep concern that was showing up in the lives of the believers. So this love is truly crucial and significant to our witness. That's what I have always been focused on over the years. What I hadn't seen until this past Tuesday as we gathered together in text study was that this great love overflowing will make your hearts strong and blameless and holy as the Lord returns. Why? Why would that love have that kind of impact? But you know, in this letter to the Thessalonians, Paul just keeps going on and on about how much he loves them, how he so longs to be with them, how he remembers them, you know, night and day. And you know, he does that in a few of his letters. I wanna go back a little bit. He was among the Thessalonians for only 3 weeks. And he had come to tell the good news about who Jesus is as Messiah. And it says that some Jews and many other godly men and prominent women came to faith. But then there were other Jewish leaders who just, wanted to stomp down his message. And so Paul and Silas and Timothy actually have to flee. And then they get to the next town, and the group that had been against them in Thessaloniki comes after them there, and so they have to leave there. And anyway, Paul is just really concerned about what has happened to their faith. And it says here, this is going back a few verses before where Jared read, he decides to send Timothy because we wanted him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from becoming disturbed by the troubles you are going through. But of course, you know that such troubles are going to happen to us Christians. Even when we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, as they did, as you well know. So get this. As Paul is planting this church, as he is introducing people to faith in Jesus Christ and inviting them to walk with Jesus in this life, he's warning them from the very beginning that this isn't going to be an easy road, that there is going to be suffering, there's going to be rejection, there's going to be real struggle. Anybody want to sign up? That's not what we think of as the gospel, is it? The good news isn't that we get to suffer, but the good news is that we get to follow the Lord who has suffered in our place and has invited us into life forever with him and into his mission, which is going out into the brokenness of the world to reveal the love of God and the power of his love to change the world. And so if we're going to follow him, we're going to be following into places of pain. If we're going to follow him, in fact, Jesus said it himself, you know what, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they rejected me, they're going to reject you. It is so important that we realize this truth. Jesus did not promise that in following him, everything's going to be easy. In fact, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer or take heart. I've overcome the world. If God promised us a rose bed, indeed There are roses, and there is a lovely fragrance, and there are plenty of thorns. It's the reality. So why does Paul tell the Thessalonians about this from the very beginning? I mean, don't you just want to do the happy sell and let them, as they mature, come into the realization that it's not always easy? No, he can't do that. And in fact, James couldn't do that, and Peter couldn't do that. Even the Apostle John in his writings can't do that. Because if we have this idea that the life of faith means everything's just sweet and easy, then when the hard times come, well, then we are so vulnerable to the whispers of the enemy who says, oh, see, you don't really believe. If you really believed, God wouldn't let this happen. Or the whispers of the enemy that say, see, God isn't all that good. Or God isn't all that strong. Or the whispers of the enemy that says, you could do better on your own. Now, I want you to get this. Paul has suffered. He had suffered before he came to Thessaloniki. He suffers there, and he suffers in the next few cities that he goes to, and yet his heart is so overcome with concern for the Thessalonians. He's just struggling with wondering how they're doing, so hoping and praying that they're standing firm in faith and not falling away. And so finally he sends Timothy. And you know, they don't have the nice air-conditioned car to jump into and make a few-hour trip. For them to travel takes some real time. There's no cell phones to call back and give the message. So for this extended period of time, Paul is just in prayer and in concern for the Thessalonians. And then he says he had been afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that all of our work would have been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing the good news that your faith and love are as strong as ever. And he reports that you remembered our visit with joy, that you wanted to see us as much as we wanted to see you. So we have been greatly comforted, dear brothers and sisters, in all of our own crushing troubles and suffering, because you've remained strong in your faith, and it gives us new life, knowing that you remain strong in the Lord. This is how much Paul loved these people, that in the midst of all he was suffering, his great concern was, how are they doing with the Lord? And finding out that they were strong in the Lord gave him fresh courage, genuine strength for life. He knew that they were suffering, that they were struggling, and what he really wanted was to be with them. And he couldn't personally be there, but he sends Timothy. But then hearing that they are strong in faith, his heart can rejoice even though he is suffering. It seems to me that Paul and the other apostles, as they went about, they knew something about the importance of love and the importance of community that really strengthened their life and their own faith. And then, of course, that showed up in their witness to the world. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy in the presence of God. This is a man who's still facing rejection and suffering for carrying this message. And yet, night and day, we pray earnestly for you. I want you to know that the love that he's got isn't just mere human affection for nice and fun people. The love that he has is he is experiencing God's love itself for them. And then as he is experiencing the love of God for them, his own self is being refreshed and strengthened. And it's changing him in the process. May God himself, our Father, our Lord Jesus, make it possible for us to come to you very soon. He wants to come so they can fill up in the Thessalonians whatever might be lacking in their faith. What might be lacking? Well, they're fairly new believers. And yet, they are already mature enough believers that the suffering isn't making them question, is God good? Is God real? And do I want this life of faith? But because they're suffering, Paul in his love wants to be near them and with them, because love does that. Love stirs up in us a desire to be there, to comfort. And there is a genuine strength that can come in the presence of being connected. Though Paul says in other times, okay, even if he can't be present in body, he'll be present to them in spirit. And we know we kind of experience that. I was just talking with Florence this last week, and she said, we're so happy that we can join over Zoom because we feel like we're there. You know, if your heart wants to connect, it'll find ways to connect. And if we're not connecting, we become very vulnerable to our faith diminishing and maybe even just burning out. You know, just like a coal that is separated from the rest of the fire will gradually lose its heat and its light, the same thing happens for us when we get removed from the presence, from the company, from the fellowship with other believers. We are vulnerable to our love for one another and for God growing cold. Now, we're in a season. We might not be able to connect together physically, but it becomes so important that we figure out how to remain connected in genuine love and concern, real fellowship, even if we can't share together day-to-day presence. May the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as our love overflows to you. I want you to hear that word. It's not make your love for each other overflow. It's may the Lord do this in you. And this is what the Lord will do. God, who is love, pours out his love to us, pours out his love through us, opens up our lives, our hearts, to love more. Years ago, the Lord showed me that where I held offense towards other people, my heart towards them would grow cold. But it would actually cause my heart towards him to harden. You know, when we carry offense, our own heart gets constricted. And the love of God gets pushed down and pushed to the side, doesn't get to flow freely in us, doesn't get to flow freely through us. And so as we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, he draws us to loving others, particularly other believers. Back to this idea of when Paul said that he was afraid that the tempter might have gotten the best of you. He was afraid that because of the persecution that and the suffering that came with the persecution that maybe their love would grow cold. But do you know another way The enemy of our souls loves to use suffering as a way to try to draw us from God, as a way to try to quash down our faith. But do you know another favorite strategy of the evil one to disrupt our faith and have the opportunity to come in and steal, kill, and destroy? It's through offense. That when we get injured by someone else, and instead of choosing to love our enemies or our frenemies, we choose to sit in the pain of offense. Our own love for God gets disrupted. And our ability to receive the love of God gets disrupted. I want to make it really clear. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. He will pour out his love to you always, overflowing. But your ability to let that sink in, your ability to receive that, it's going to be affected by what you are nurturing in your heart. We remember Jesus, God who so loved the world, sending Jesus into a world that wouldn't know him, wouldn't accept him, would reject him, but God would go. Jesus would come because he so loved. So the prayer of Paul for the Thessalonians is also a prayer for us to have God make our love for one another grow and overflow, so that each of us can be strengthened in faith, becoming blameless and holy for the return of Christ. Let me just remind you, what is this love? Love, it's not just warm, sweet emotion. Love is action of being patient and kind and not envious or boastful, not arrogant or rude, not keeping a record of wrongs, and not rejoicing in wrong, but rejoicing in right. Love, well, it takes courage, and it gives courage, and it changes us. And as it's changing us, begins to affect the world beyond us. May God himself, may the Lord make your love grow and overflow. And as a result, Christ will make your heart strong and blameless and holy when you stand before God, our Father, on that day. Again, I want to remind you, Scripture is written to a community of believers, much more so than to individuals. And as we are connected in community, our faith encourages one another, and we receive encouragement and strength from one another. And so we need this community of faith, those who will surround us with the reminders of who our God is, how faithful he is, how sufficient he is, how loving he is. And as we have this community that reminds us to look up, we find our faith rising. And as our faith is rising, our strength is rising. And as we are living in this active faith, trusting God, we're getting changed. And the world's beginning to see. and Christ is being glorified. And we're getting ready for his return. So please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you'd send Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your love for us isn't dependent on what we do, but it's dependent on who you are. Lord, we ask that you so form our hearts with your love, that we are able to love this world not on the basis of what other people do, but on the basis of who you are and who we are now because of you, so that we're able to love and bless not only those that we are already connected with because we are part of your family, but those who don't even know you, who you already love, and that we will be able to love those who hurt us, even when there are other believers who reject us. Form your heart in us, Lord. Cause your love to so sink into us that it just overflows through us. Form your heart in us, Lord, until we are so connected in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ that the world sees the power of your love, and the world becomes ready for your return, Jesus. Amen.